Welcome, good evening.
I thought we'd have you in the crash. Is that right? I just thought, I'm so sick of meeting in there, aren't you? It's one of the dragging the chairs. St. Mary said about your trip. I just thought, just nice to do a meeting somewhere else, isn't it? And if we get really big, we'll move into the big room. So all of you have heard that, have you, that Dave, who we prayed for on Sundays, gone to the Lord this afternoon. So that's brother's. That's Ian's brother-in-law. Yeah, Ian's brother-in-law's name. And they're going to have the funeral, a sort of celebration service here, actually. His sister's asked if they could have it here. So the Christian Centre are going to come and run it, but here. So that'd be nice. And then I don't know if we're doing the prayer right here. Or not. I don't know. We'll find out. He was just running me there before, but we'll see. So anyway, but praise the Lord, Dave's saved. So we don't mourn as people do who don't know the Lord, do we, you know? We have a totally different view of death. For Dave's in a fantastic place out of pain. Just a little bit ahead of us. We're all going through that garden gate, aren't we? So, you know, for us death is... But, you know, obviously, family and that, it's hard. Miss one another and, you know, pray for Christine and for Ian and all them. Sad. Healing's awesome. But our ultimate healing is the resurrection. And, you know, heaven. So, and I'm sure you know we can develop in all this stuff as we go along. Please, Holy Spirit. So, welcome. So, I thought I'd do this here because it's much more close, personal. You can ask questions easier. It's, it gives us a break from always being in there. How many of you have been there twice this week already?
Where?
Next door?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So, it's a lot, isn't it? And how many of you are going tomorrow night as well? To the youth? Some of the worship practices.
Well, you.
At least you can think in a different building. So I'm just going to speak to you for a little bit about M61. We'll record this for people this time anyway. Probably won't record these because I'd like to say a lot of in-house stuff. We could talk about each other and stuff in a way that you can't do that if it's recorded. But we can record this one because it's that foundational one. I'm explaining to you tonight what M61 is, what it isn't, how we can function together as ministries, do mission together, the sort of boundaries for that and everything, sort of the foundations of it. So it's a bit of a sort of orientation of M61, like we did when we launched A61, and a little bit of teaching in here, but not much really, just explaining what it is and what it isn't. Well, first of all, let me say this. So M61 isn't a course, you'll be glad to hear. It isn't a three-month course or a year course. It's forever, and it's not very often we meet. So it's about once every 6 or 7 weeks, maybe. We'll see how it goes. It's really a ministry pool. It's to develop ministry. So we've got a ministry resource here of people, of one another who we trust, who all have a certain level of understanding of the kingdom and of what we're about, what God's called us to do, which is quite a high level. I mean, you're the core of the church, or you wouldn't be in the room. You know, I mean, I originally said only people who've completed 12 months of A61. But then I realised that a lot of you are coming to Estonia anyway, doing mission stuff already. But I'll just try and keep the bar high, because I think the bars are important, you know. The Route 61 bar is important. Yes. Saves us from an awful lot of grief here, Route 61. It's a filter, it's a membership course, and it's also, you know, a buffer, really, for people to suss out who we are, what we're about, and whether they really want to walk with us and the way we're walking or not. And if it's not, then better find that out early than late, you know. And then A61 is there's a commitment to A61. A61 is a bit harder than Route 61, isn't it? You're doing and you're stretched and you're you know, you're thinking a bit more and you're trying to put it into practice, and it's not easy. The Evangelism Month proves that. Everyone loves the Holy Spirit Month, yay! Everyone loves the Heart Healing Month, yay! The Evangelism Month is like, I haven't got any non-Christian friends and all that. It's a challenge, isn't it? And so it is a challenge. It's meant to be a challenge for all of us. And then M61 is a ministry pool. So what will we be doing? Every one of these nights, I'm going to split the night into two halves. one night on developing your ministry. So there'll be some teaching for you, developing it personally and corporately. We'll have to explain in a minute. And then the other half on mission. So updates about what we're doing, opportunities for you to go, encouragement to go to some things, selection for those mission trips and situations as they grow in the church and outside of the church, and then some one-to-one as well, so we can talk about, you know, help you discover your ministry gifts and what, you know, you're called to do at the moment. You know, ministry gifts develop and they get sharp and focused, and then they can change and develop into something else or become two. And you know, you can start off very prophetic and pray, and you can end up quite pastoral, and that's all right. If that's what God's doing with you. You can do many different things, actually, in the course of your ministry life. But you might have one or two core things that are totally you all the way through. We want to help you to find what they are. That's what the interviews are for, asking you some questions, and we'll talk to you individually as well about that as we go on through the year, whatever. But it's not a year anyway, as we go on in life. So, here's what you can expect of us. Us meaning me, really, but it's mainly me going to be doing this. But I'll use the corporate us because I married Margaret and I know Chris and Andy sat in the front row. But we'll be doing stuff together anyway as we go along. But here's what you can expect of us on M61. To develop your ministry personally. Personally means to help you in a much more detailed way and do it together. Develop the foundations that enable us to actually carry the name of the Lord anywhere, so that you don't blow out, burn out and fail, which you could do, which many people do. For instance, here's two trees. One of them isn't going to survive a storm, and one of them is. And it's nothing to do with how they look there. They look absolutely gorgeous there. You walk under them, nice summer day, it's wonderful. But in the winter, this one's down. This one's gone. This one survives. For all unseen reasons. And it's exactly the same with you and any ministry that God calls you to do. It's not a great mystery, this. It's actually bread and butter gospel that Jesus taught us. There are certain things, hidden things in our life that enable us to survive, go the distance, and at the end of your life, you're still married to the same person, and you're still dad or mum in your house, and you've got friends that are still your friends, and you're in the church, and you haven't given up on church when you could have 15 times, and you haven't had massive traumatic sin that has taken you out of ministry. As many people do. Those personal hidden things are just there. There they are. Here's the big secret. Prayer, fasting, and giving. And I'm going to be speaking to you about all of them. And doing them with you and together. I'd like us to... not only is God doing something with me personally in prayer, but he's doing something with us as a church in prayer. And that's been for quite a while. And I'd like us to learn together. This is the place where we can learn together. But it's a doing together, you know. And we'll have a look at those three main areas of prayer, which are petition, devotion, intercession. They're quite different, but significantly important. So we'll do that together and look at that together. Fasting, even if you have learned a little bit about prayer, you won't have learned anything about fasting wherever you've come from, because not many people do it, because it's not nice and it's hard work, and it's, but you know what, it's something you learn. It's normal Christian ministry, and fasting starves unbelief and builds faith. Fasting reduces your ego and brings your mortality that close. I'm a mighty man of God. But I'm nearly in tears when I miss my lunch. Actually, incredibly human. And fasting brings you right down to just how spiritual you actually are. I'd like us to be able to, certainly by the end of this year, to be able to do, say, 3 days fasts together as a church, as the core of the church. Be able to fast for 3 days on liquids. That is well manageable for us. But you know what? It's not easy to learn that and do it regularly. Fasting is usually people either never do it or do one dramatic thing once in their life that they talk about forever. Did I tell you about my 40-day fast that lasted 27 days? When I was liquidising all my food. Actually, fasting isn't easy. It's something we learn. And there are all sorts of different ways of fasting. I'd like us to look at it together. Why? Because it's absolutely essential for you, for your ministry. It's essential to be able to pray, fast, and give. Give? To be free from the fear of money and the love of money, according to Jesus in Matthew 6, is basic spirituality. If you don't give to this church, for instance, you shouldn't be sat in this room. And I don't know who gives, and I'm not interested in who gives, nor am I interested in how much. That is utterly irrelevant. Jesus was very impressed with a widow who put hardly anything in. But it was how she put it in that impressed him and told his disciples to notice it. Giving is fundamental to ministry. And it is the secret, giving regularly, faithfully, no matter how skint you are, that is basic to spirituality, as is prayer, as is fasting. So you're probably looking at that thinking, well, I'm pretty weak on prayer, fasting zero or hardly worth mentioning, and giving, I don't know what you think, because I don't know where you are. You might think I'm okay, and you might be, or you might think I'm absolutely nowhere, and you might be, but do you know what, that needs to change if you're going to survive. And we need to be able to get to the point where we're giving like Acts of the Apostles, selling stuff we don't need, sharing stuff freely, opening our houses, sharing our cars. When revival comes fully, this is what it'll be like. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in Pentecost, there was a massive splurge of generosity. No one mentioned a percentage. They were selling fields and bringing all the money and trusting the apostles to distribute it. They were fishermen and things, you know. And it was absolutely amazing. There was no needy person among them. I think God can absolutely bless us with jobs, prosperity, health, everything. A people. We can be a people blessed by the Lord. We can. Where people come here, don't have husbands, and find them, and find the wives they need, and find the jobs they need and would like, and find the faith to break out of the fear of money and all the rest. It's massively important. It only happens if in the core of the church there's absolute reality, unseen, unboasted about, but it's happening in our lives. It's massively important. That's you developing personally. I'd like to help you. I'd like us to help us to do it together, to become significant ministries, and also help you develop your ministry corporately. You know, one of the things we do, which is classic Bill Hybels, we do in the leadership team anyway, is called the three C's. We've developed it a bit to be our own, but the three C's are these. This is how we gauge when people are good for a ministry team or not. Maybe you should read yourself by it for a minute, and we'll have a look at it, because in the end, you guys will be leading teams, part of teams. You're part of teams already, half of you. You know, and these three C's are important. Their character, their charisma, and their chemistry. They're three things we look for all the time. You have to tick all three to be part of a team and part of a team well. You have to be able to tick it for yourself, but for others. I'd like to show you how to be part of a team, how to work as part of a team really well. Which is massively important, which is what Jesus did with 12. And then ultimately, how to select a team, who you want on your team, when you're running ministries, when there's multi thousands of people coming in. Who do you think is going to be leading them? Well, you're in this room, actually. Oh, not me. Well, yeah, it could be you. It could be. It might not be. And that isn't for me to decide. It's for you to decide, actually. The field is open. And God's got you here very early on in the game. I think that's massively significant. I've always said that to you since St. Mary's Day. God knew who he was going to bring early because he wants to use you. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy for you. It means he wants to use you. The most blessed life isn't the easy life. No. Who was the most blessed? Jacob or Esau? Jacob. Who had the easy life? Esau. Who had the wives? Who had the money? Who had the armies? Who had the life? Esau. Who had the trouble? Who had the running? Who had the praying? Who had the weeping? Who had the struggling? Who had the bereavement of Joseph? Who had the going to Egypt? Jacob. Who was blessed? Jacob. God's blessing doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It means you're going to be doing his will, which changes the world. That's the privilege. And you'll walk with God. That's the privilege. Esau didn't walk with God. Jacob, through it all, had dealings with God. God named himself by Jacob. Who are you? I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, these are my guys. These are my guys. That's what we want, isn't it? I don't know what I'm talking about now. But anyway, I'm talking about these three things. Character. In other words, you want to be part of a team in this church, you turn up on time. You communicate if you don't turn up. Character. You're reliable. You're faithful. You're hardworking. And no one's apologising for asking you to be. And you've got character. You're there. You're there because you said you'd be there. You're there all the time. That's character. That's peak part. That's part of being a team. It's important. Then there's charisma. You've got to be able to do it. You've got to be competent. You've got to be actually able to do what you've been asked to do on the team. You have to be able to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to preach and teach and to lead and to communicate. You have to be able to look after kids or youth or new believers or whatever. You've got to be able to do it. The church, England, the world is full of people who have character but no charisma. Our churches in England are led by people who are, oh, he's a lovely man. Lovely man. Yeah, but he's naff. He can't preach. He can't get no power. He's not anointed. He's not filled with the Holy Spirit. Character's important, but it's not ultimate. It's very important. It's as equal as important to have the goods. If you want to be on a team, you've got to be able to do what that team's doing. Or you'll be off the team. Is that a big deal? No big deal. There's loads of teams. Maybe you should be another team. That's okay. You should be fluid. If you're humble and free, you'll be able to be fluid. You move around, find the team where you really fit, what you're really called to do. And there's a lot of that at your level of ministry. There's a lot of moving around. That's what the interviews are going to be for. Sit down, talk to you. How are you doing? What are you doing right now? Do you enjoy it? Not really. Why are you doing it? Well, I'm just serving because someone needs to do it. That's pretty good. Okay, but you can't live there. God's called you to do something significant. We want you to do the creche because you believe that God's called you to do it. And you've got vision and faith that the Holy Spirit can come on those children. And you have massive revelation that you are truly blessing those mothers and releasing them to be blessed. And you're feeling the overflow blessing of that. And you're trusting God. And you're hidden away and denying yourself. And the Lord's with you in it. That's a creche worker. Not, well, I'm just in here. I'm on the rotor. Well, it starts there. It can't end there. Not if you want fantastic ministries. You want fantastic creche. With workers who love kids. I think I've died and gone to heaven and changing another nappy. That might not be you, but it, do you know what? It might be you. Awesome. Charisma, and then there's got to be chemistry. In other words, you've got to get on with the people on your team. There's got to be a feel-good factor. I'd never have anyone on my teams who I didn't like. I wouldn't. I'd not have it. If I see my senior team and the extended team, I want to think happy thoughts. I don't think, oh no, he's coming. They are not on my team. They're not selected if I don't like them. But by the way, I like all of you. This is not about me, I'm talking about you as well. As you grow and in ministry and you're picking teams, or you're on a team, you've got to make sure the chemistry's right. You're good with the people in those team, in that team. You love them. You're kind to them. You trust them. You're not causing trouble. You are listening to the leader of that team. You can be led. Because if you can be led, you can lead. You can listen. Even if, you know, and share your opinion. You don't have to be a big yes man. Share your opinion, say what you want, and then let it go. If the leader thinks, no, I'm going to try this. Well, let me try it with you with all my heart. That's character. That's charisma. And that's chemistry. There's got to be good chemistry. You know what? There can't be perfect chemistry all the time. I think there's perfect chemistry in Jesus' team. When he picks these guys and gets them all together. But there was chemistry with him, right? There was chemistry with him. Sometimes on a team, there is stuff that has to happen together. And God develops you relationally. So you forgive each other and work issues out. But there has to be chemistry with the leader. He has to believe in you. She has to believe in you. You have to trust them. Otherwise, it's a no-brainer. It's not going to work. Which is, do you know what? A big deal. Not really. There's somewhere else you fit. There's somewhere else for you. Or it really might be like an attitude issue in you. And you just need to repent. Or take the Lord, break a bit. Or might be some unresolved issues in your heart. Great, we've got something for that. It's called Route 61. Or it's called Tom and Laura Richters. Or it's called Dean and Carolyn Duffield. People who are willing to sit with you, pray with you, talk to you. We all need that from time to time. We all do. There's no shame in it. Just get it done. If you're wounded as a soldier, go, medic! Go and get sorted, get the bullet out. Sometimes you're only wounded because you're on the front line. Don't expect to do this and not get hurt and wounded and hit and enemy have a go at you and all that. It's just not reality. I'd like to talk to you about being part of a team, relationships, making relationships work in teams, understanding authority so that you can be, you know, humble but not controlled either by anyone. Understand how to have authority and respect authority without being a yes man and without being controlled, and how not to burn out, how you can burn for Jesus and keep burning like the burning bush without burning out. The burning bush did not burn up, because the fire of God doesn't burn you up. It energizes you and gives you life, but if you're doing the wrong things the Lord hasn't asked you to do in the wrong way, you do burn up, because you know what, you're on your own, buddy. And using your own, you're on your own tank of fuel then. And you need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Just do what Jesus said, I only do what the Father, I see the Father doing, what the Father told me to say, that's what I say. That's, you know, as we develop in ministry, that's how, you know, you become more and more childlike, really. More and more obedient, more and more simple. Just do what the Lord's asking you to do with all your heart. And try and have the three C's working. Okay, that's what you can expect of us. Oh, that sounded like all on you, didn't it? Oh, no. Now it's what we can expect of you. That sounded like that was all expectation on you. Sorry. Oh, this is going to be harder than I thought. I'll just flip this over. Gone are the days of rubbers. They're meant to be three little scriptures just to show you that it's vaguely biblical. No. This is what I would expect of everyone in this room. This is what I expect of you if you want to be on M61, on a part of M61. If you want me and the senior team to view you as part of M61, that means you're a core member of this church and you're a developing ministry willing to do mission. That is a high privilege. We're going to send you to different countries, different nations, different churches, carrying the name of the Lord, which is paramountly important, and then massively smaller than that. But important to us and to you is carrying the name of the church as well. You're representing Jesus in Amazing Grace Church. So do you know what? There's responsibility for you. There is. There's a bar for you to live up to. And there's a commitment. High privileges are high commitments. This is a high commitment room. You're the core of the church. You know, you're all leaders. You're all potential leaders. You're all potential ministries. You are. So, here's three things that I felt the Holy Spirit say to me in Spain. Lying on my bed the first day I got to Spain last year about M61. three things that we expect. We need to be able to take them. We need to honour God, protect the church, respect the vision. That's what it means to be sat in this room and sent with confidence to different situations in the UK or into Europe from here. And you might, you know, you might not totally be here, but this is where you need to get to before we can send you confidently. Honour God, first and foremost. So, you know what that says, live a life worthy of the gospel. Live a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. So we honour God, biblical lifestyle. So do you know what? Thank God for the Bible, eh? Amen. Where would we be without the Bible? We'd be lost. It's the plumb line that we measure everything up by. There's all sorts of fashions and fads in Christianity. The culture is shifting and changing in what it believes and accepts all the time. Worldly Christians go with it. But there's one safeguard for all of us, the Bible. Well, it seems right. Well, everyone sees it. Hang on a minute. Let's just hold the Bible up against it. Oh, it's way off. It's way off. Okay, so we just won't have any of that. Ah, biblical life. What a challenge these days for us guys, personally and corporately, to actually do only what the Bible says. You know, we're not talking about grey areas here of doctrine. Just talking about basic, what it says about leadership, about divorce, about going out with non-Christians, about sexual immorality, about giving, fasting, praying, about whatever, the church, about evangelism. And you know, we just hold it up. It's not my book. Thank God. This isn't a church rule book. Amazing Grace rule book. What's it say here about adultery? Who cares? What's it say here about adultery? Okay, do you know what? Let the church and the world do whatever it wants. Here, we're going to try, by the grace of God, to hold the Bible up in a loving, gentle, gracious way to ourselves, to our leaders, to our church, to our situation, certainly to our core, and say, you know, your life. I'm not talking about sinning here, slipping and sinning. I'm talking about walking a path that is unbiblical. Walking a path. Then, you know, we will we'll speak into it and we'll help you. And if you're willing to be helped, you will be helped. If you're not willing to be helped, you won't be used. Just won't send you. Love you. Part of the church. Of course you are. Might be just going through a bad year. Hey, have one on me. But I'm not sending you. Unless you're willing to repent and come back into line with the, not with me. Please, no. With the Bible. And then that's awesome. Then go for it. Keep going. Protect the church. How do you do that? Well, with your mouth, with your attitude, and with unity. That's it. You protect the church with your mouth. In other words, try and think good thoughts. And try and speak good words. Not, you know what? All of us go through battles and struggles and attacks and clouds, and we can all, you know, we all need places in our life where we can mouth off a bit. Do you know what? I get it. Find that place and enjoy it. But don't let it be every place. Don't mouth off every place. Or do you know what? You'll be loved, but you won't be sent. And I can't trust you. I've got to be able to trust you. You need to love me and Margaret the way we love you. You need to pray for us as we pray for you. We need to trust each other here and be in total unity of spirit. There can't be any darkness or shades here. There's got to be love. And love is sometimes tough love and sometimes straight love, but it's love. It is. It's not keeping everything nice. It's not a family where keep everything nice, keep the peace, keep the peace. No, we're not interested in keeping the peace. We're interested in doing it God's way. Living together in unity and love. That matters. Your mouth matters. Your attitude matters. And as I say, we all go up and down on that. All of us. You know. And unity matters. The only place unity can really happen is here. The unity Jesus spoke about. Jesus spoke about in John, which is often quoted as if he actually was talking about denominations. I mean, that's hilarious to me. As if he really meant, oh, he's longing for the Baptists to get the Anglicans. What are you talking about? Jesus spoke about unity to a very small group of brothers who they were living together and said to them, if you love one another, the world will see it and believe in me. Somehow that's become, when all the pastors get together for tea and cakes and really get their churches doing mission together, the world will see and believe. Really? Well, do they? Because that happens, doesn't it? All the churches in Manchester got together and we ran a big festival and the world ignored it. Because actually, that's not the unity. Jesus, I mean, I'm not trying to be naughty, but can I be naughty here? The unity Jesus was speaking about was this: when there's a small community of believers who live together and know each other enough to be a family and really love each other, unbelievers walk into that community, like Amazing Grace Church or any church where it is, if we can be there, and they do see the love and feel the love and feel the family, and they do believe. And that's when they believe. They see that actual a oneness and a trust and a level of friendship that's impossible for people of the world. We have the same dad. Some people, I mean, we talk in terms of DNA sometimes. I mean, we say it about ourselves, you know. They're a great church, but, you know, they haven't got quite the same DNA as us. They have. We've got the same dad. Every church has the same DNA as us. We have the same spirit. The same dad. The same. We were born of the same spirit. Or if they're born again, they've definitely got the same DNA as us. We can be absolutely one. All of us. Denominations and traditions and culture and what God's calling churches to do, yeah, for me, that can separate you in a good way, if you know me, in a good way. Don't be all together to be a blob of nothingness. We come together to be an undefined nothing. Rather, each congregation, each church, hear God, focus on what he's called you to do. And do it with all your heart and be excellent at it until it works and you have success. God blesses the work of your hands. You can have unity in all sorts of different levels, but it doesn't mean ignoring your culture and vision and who you are, which does define you. But DNA is different. We do have the same dad. We can absolutely be one. So, what am I talking about now? Unity. Honour God. Protect the church. Just do your best. Bless you. And if you struggle with it, you know what? You're forgiven. Love each other, don't we? Meant to be Amazing Grace. You can have a bad year or two, don't we? But this is where I'd like you to be able to send you regularly to other nations. I'd like to send teams of people who actually love each other. Who don't get over there and start a fight. Or say, this is mega, but our church back up stinks. It's better just to be a bit more healed than that. And respect the vision. In other words, you know what? Respect the vision by, first of all, knowing it, understanding it. If you're in this room, and I know some of you have only just started here, 61, so you're, you know, mercy. But if you're in this room, you should have a fairly good grasp of who we are and our vision and what's sort of important to us and what isn't, what God's called us to do and what he hasn't called us to do. So that means you respect the vision. It means you don't just do your own thing to the point where that takes you off and makes you distracted. Do you know what I mean? Some of us are called to specific things in our own heart and life. And do you know what? If you don't get to be able to do that, then you're not free. You are free. You know, Tom was sent me on the way. You know, Tom's a massive heart for Israel. And he's sent me the way. I run this prayer meeting for Israel, and some people want to come pray for Israel, you know. Awesome. That's great. That's massive. It's not what we're called to do here, right now, by God, because he hasn't said that. Do you know what? It's something massively in Tom's heart. Do we respect that? Totally. Can you go to that? Of course you can. Do what you like. I'm not your dad. You do what you want. But and some of that, do you know what? Some of that needs to develop. And as you, the more mature you get in ministry, the more God will call you to do specific things. Some of it might be way outside the very simple vision of Amazing Grace Church. Mm-hmm. Good, fine, I would expect that. Let's send you, bless you, help you. But just don't expect all of us en masse to be with you. Because we're called to do something very specific here, very simple, actually. But the more mature you are, the more that does happen, that's just truth. So respect the vision by not letting your own thing become a massive distraction, and also being understanding the prophetic, understanding what God's saying to us. Don't drop off, don't drop out, don't miss 4 weeks. And come and think, oh, they've moved on, because we will have, moving at a tremendous pace. Mm-hmm. If you can help it, guys, you know, you're the core, get to the prayer meetings. If you, there's two ways to really be in the absolute heartbeat of this church, to know everything, the heartbeat, to know everything. One way is to be on the senior team, the other way is to be in the prayer meetings. And that's the truth. You get right in when you come to prayer meetings and pray, and prayer vigils now, because that is where God is directing the vision of the church. I mean, the senior team will try and communicate to you as much as we can. We want you to know as much as you can. But you know what? To feel it, to catch it, is in the presence of God. The presence of God. You know, I know when I'm speaking about Estonia, there are half the church with the lights on. Yeah, they've got it. They've been there in the prayer meetings when God's spoken. They've been to Estonia, they've caught it. And then the other half, they're like, yeah, yeah. Huh? Huh? It's a Stony Boy again. And I think that's true. I think we need to cast the vision more and more and more by being prophetic. I mean, here's some basic little vision things, visual for us. Sorry if you're at the back, probably can't see them. But Carl will lift this up on his shoulders for us. No. I mean, you should basically know, if you're in this room, you should basically know the wheel and be able to explain it. Mm. If someone on a Sunday night says to you, so what's the vision of this church? You should basically be able to draw it for him. So, oh, basically what we do is, that's basically what we do. That's it. That's what we do. You know, we preach the gospel, we heal people, we train people, and we send people. Or just about it. And then, and you should know these symbols. These symbols are our symbols. These are our visual demonstration of the, you know, our church symbol is the wave. Because the core foundational reason for this church is revival. A wave of revival that's coming across Europe. We are called to catch that wave. That's who we are. Really, you should know that. You should know that the gospel and the cross, well, that's a pretty new one actually. So, mercy for this one. But amazing love, and the cross is central to everything. The gospel is central to everything. Route 61, you know that one. The road, the blue sky, and, you know, you're getting blessed. A61 is the same road, but the sky's not so blue. There's clouds, deliberately, and there's an athlete who's straining, running, because that's the difference between A61 and Route 61. And M61 is the globe. And the M61 is in a font that's Mission Impossible. That's it. You should know these basic things here, really, if you're in this room. You should understand these. Sorry, you can't see these now, can you? Really can't. Should I stick this on a chair?
Yeah.
Oh, Carl's come back. He's literally going to grab the other side now. Sorry. This is why I love doing it in the crash. I mean, you should know these four things are quite significantly important to our spirituality. You should know that we really believe in getting vision from God as a church. We really believe in hearing God. That's a very important value to us. Does that make us a little bit different to other churches? A little bit, yeah. We don't easily accept vision across the latest thing. Have you heard them? You're going to see them? And we're not. Do you know, we will go and see them. We will hear them. We're very interested in receiving at one level, but the direction for the church and for the revival is we need to hear God continually, be praying, hearing God, You know, Paul said, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. We get vision from heaven. And I think Sidewood's vision keeps churches weak. The second-hand vision, the copying one another, not sure what to do next, looking for new, oh, it's the latest thing. And actually, it's not. By the time it gets to you, it's 20 years old, you know. This guy, he's planted 30,000 churches in Afghanistan. That's awesome. How come I never heard of him? Who did the counting? And so what's the formula? I don't know. It doesn't turn me on anyway. I like to hear God. And we know God has spoken. And this is a corporate thing. It's not just me hearing God for all of us. That's ridiculous. It's the senior team. It's the extended team. And it's all of us together hearing God. And agreeing to owning it. Yeah, this is God. I'm buying that plane ticket. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing. Anyway, I think you do know what I mean. You should know why soaking's important to us. He hasn't died, by the way. That's soaking. He's a little fish in the grass. You were wondering, weren't you?
Not someone who's got a crossbow or something.
And you should know why soaking's important to us. Because actually, amidst all the fire and the signs and wonders and all the rest, we have to be quiet. We have to be quiet. That's part of our spirituality. We have to meditate. We have to listen. You know, God came to Elijah not in the fire, not in the earthquake, not in the wind, in a still, small voice. Now that is part of our culture. These things are our culture. This is what makes us us. So this is just part of the vision again for you to own, understand, be able to communicate. You should know why communion is important to us. It's not just a religious thing we do. It's massively, massively important to us. To our spirituality. You should know why prayer is becoming increasingly important to us. You should be able to look at that and say, oh yeah, that's Route 61. It's Route 61, isn't it? Holy Spirit.
Gospel.
Gospel. Heart healing. Signs and wonders. Freedom. Grace. That's Route 61 in visual terms. Cool. So this is what we expect of you, to respect the vision, to understand it, to catch it, to be in it, through being in prayer with us and stuff, to protect the church, to honour God. They're the three things. Do you know what? If you can't do those three things, occasionally we'll just take the keys back off you. We'll trust you with things, but if you can't be trusted, then we'll just take the keys back off you, like the car, you know. It's not my car. This isn't my church. It's not Martin Ruddick's church. This is Jesus' church. We are running it on his behalf. When I go to him, or he comes to us, we have to give account. Now that's one of the times in the Bible accountability is used. Not the other way, this way. The leaders give account. To who? To God, for the church. It's not my car, it's Jesus' car. So Chris says to me, can I drive? And I say, you're part of the core of the church. Of course you can drive. King. Of course you can lead that ministry. King. Of course you can take those bunch of people to that nation. King, have the keys. Oh, cheers, man. Brilliant. Awesome, yeah. I'm just going to have a glass of wine first. Oh. Are you okay with me having a glass of wine? I think so. Yeah, one glass is alright. Actually, I'm going to have two glasses. Oh, give me the keys. Can I still be in the car? Of course you can. Can I drive? No. Why? Because you're driving a bunch of people. This is what leadership is, brothers and sisters. You can drive if you live the life. But if you don't live the life, those three C's and these... Sorry. You know, sorry, but I'm not sorry. It's not my car. You decide how far you go in the kingdom of God. You do. I do. Through living a holy, God-fearing life. It's the truth. Do you know what? That doesn't mean you don't get the car keys back once you've sobered up. We're nice. And you're nice. And you're worth more than two glasses of wine in a bad month and a bad year. You are. Seriously, you are.
We said when we started this church, people don't get black booked, and they don't. No one gets black booked, because there isn't a book. We just go through different things, different battles, different times. Some of us are up, some of us are down, some of us are in, some of us are out. We just stick together, keep going, guys. Don't give up. If you keep walking, the sun will come out again. And no, keep following Jesus. You're restored, you're blessed. You get up, you get the keys, you get bigger keys. You drive juggernauts across Europe. I honestly believe, you know, that the married couples in this room, and potentially the singles as well, could lead hundreds and hundreds of people, lead them in a spirituality of revival in the coming years. I honestly believe that. You'll become prayer warriors, you know, leading prayer conferences, teaching Europe to pray and to see. But we've got to learn first ourselves. We've got to go on a journey ourselves. So, do you know what? Well done. That's enough for now. And I'll just do some. So anyway, what time is it? 8:30. So, are you ready to go till 9:30?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why don't you stand up and stretch your legs? And then Andy's just going to speak to us for 5 minutes, and I'll keep going with the mission stuff.
Just a couple of very quick things wanted to say. One was about the A61/N61 interviews that I think most of you have done by now. It's an interview, when you've finished the whole year of A61, your small group leader should have approached you and said, you know...
Not small group leader, your mentor.
Mentor, sorry, should have approached you and, you know, with like some interview questions and said, like, how did you find each month, what was your favourite, blah, 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 just trying to find out, you know, what your heart is, what you ultimately called to do and that kind of thing. If you've finished A61 and you haven't had that interview yet, then... please chase up your mentor, or your mentor has probably been chased up you already anyway, and then just chat to them about that, just so we sort of have a better idea of, you know, what your heart is, what God's put on your heart, and where you feel like more like you're led and called to go. And, you know, we're going to obviously read them and take those seriously and pray about those and, you know, see, you know, if we can get you where you want to be and work there and that kind of thing. So it's massively important. And if you haven't finished A61 yet, when you've finished, that's something that, you know, you'll be doing too. So remember to pester your mentor for that, or they'll be, you know, get in touch with you for that as well. Another thing is Route 61, obviously starting on the 1st of May, and it's obviously 12 weeks from the 1st of May, Thursday nights, and we need small group leaders. It'll require, you know, full commitment to the whole 12 weeks, and the commitment will be, you know, trying to make it every week. It's for consistency of the people in the small group. It's for them, you know. And also, you know, getting there early. Probably it's like 6:30 if you can. And it's going to finish. It'll finish at 10 o'clock each night as well. So I know a lot of you have done the small group meeting last time. But trying to get there that earlier to help set up and help with the tea and coffees and setting up and all those other things that we do as well. So that's what we'll require. So if you're interested in being a small group leader on Next Group 61, I think it's going to be massive, and we, you know, we'll need a lot of small group leaders. So I'll just want to pass this around. It's just a sign up if you're interested in running a small group. If you know, everyone signs up, you know, and we do another M61A, everyone again signs up, and we maybe take it to A61, and lots of people sign up there, then we might not be able to have everyone be a small group leader. I mean, hopefully we will. Hopefully we're that big. But it's not a guarantee that you are a small group leader. It's just a sign up for interest. And if then... if it's possible, we'll contact you for that. Is that okay? So can I just pass this around then, if you're interested in that, and then line up for some more.
Very good, thank you.
Well, that's good enough.
So apparently Stuart and Marion have been married 32 years today. And just for the record, what was your first wife called?
That's good.
So, Avril just said to me an interesting little point, and a good one actually, that I'd said earlier, I can envisage particularly married couples being responsible for hundreds and potentially single people as well. So just to encourage you singles, there is something that a couple can carry in terms of volume of people pastorally, that a single person is not as many people probably. That's just true. Couples can cover more bases and counsel married couples and so on. And
But that doesn't mean single people can't do awesome things. Yeah. You are very awesome, believe me. There's been some awesome single people in the church, hasn't there? The Apostle Paul, I think, is one. And so, okay, so all of that was...
It was just on the fasting one. If you're on medication and you can't take a toilet empty stomach, how can you go 3 days fasting? That's all I wanted to know about medication.
Well, we'll work it out as we go along, eh? Hopefully you'll be healed of the medication by damage to the fasting. What a cop out. Oh, we can, there's different ways of fasting, you know. Different things to fast from. So that's an unusual one, isn't it? But, yeah. You can fast on bread and water or something. Okay. So all that was ministry. And you can ask questions actually at the end, as long as you don't go too late. All of that was ministry. So now a bit on mission. Okay. Firstly, just very quickly, what is our mission? Our mission is, as a church, really, is Isaiah 61. Our mission is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and preach the gospel and heal people, preach the gospel of salvation, see people saved, and heal people emotionally, physically, spiritually, and teach the New Testament doctrine of the grace of God. Bring people into a relationship with God where they know his love for them and they're secure that they're saved and they're able to do the same. That's the ministry of Jesus. That's our mission. That's what we do. We do Isaiah 61. Right, now here's some mission opportunities for you. For you to pray about, think about, and some dates and things. And some of them are just like little doors opening up, which some of us have to kick the door in and get in and open it up for you. And some of them are already open. So that's got nothing to do with anything. I just decided to draw the wave. Sundays is an opportunity for mission. I mean, what we do this on a Sunday night. So if you say, "Well, I really want to heal the sick," well, please come Sunday night. You know, if you can get there to minister, be part of the ministry team. It's growing a lot, and I think there's 156 people he encountered. Ian's amazing counting machine that he has in his head. 156 people he counted on Sunday night. And I don't know how many Amazing Grace was there, but I'm guessing, is it probably about 30 or 40?
Not many.
Or 30 or something like that.
I don't know.
No, you know what? That's all right. Because, well, look, this is the core. So, and then maybe there's some more people on A61 and coming through route anyway. But, yeah, so, you know, that's an opportunity anyway for you. If you can get and you want to, then that's a brilliant opportunity for you to get to talk to people, minister to people, love people, pray for people. Heal people.
They're often a bit stretched on Sunday nights.
Deliver people.
Yeah.
Like we need more ministry team, don't we? So if you can get there, then brilliant. That's an awesome opportunity for you to be doing it.
Just to clarify on Sunday night, I take it when you talk about core, does that mean anyone in this room can go forward when they ask for prayer?
Oh, definitely.
And pray for people.
Yeah. If you're on A61, you're the ministry team.
Yeah.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah, Sharon?
Well, we just need to remember the badges on the...
Yeah, let's check. I know, it's like
they're
a bit of a
there on the step, just on the right-hand side.
I'll give them to everybody to come in.
It's so hard, isn't it?
Give them to everybody to come in.
Just thinking, you might
keep the rolls.
We're going to lose them.
I know.
Might be better if you've got the right thing. That's easier.
Can we get those little things that go around people's necks? Yeah. You know, like new wine in them, have a little. It's such a fun one. Maybe we could get some of them because it's a lot easier, isn't it?
It's
faffing on doing that when you're walking forward. Yeah. Hang on a minute, I'll just go and get a badge.
Somebody could put it on you while
really
you pray.
Awkward,
yeah. Go around.
Yeah, I could keep it.
Just go around.
Amen.
And the best prayers you could have gold, silver, and bronze.
I think
that's a good point.
We're
not
going
to get past the
night. I just think as well, in terms of all of you being here, sometimes when you're at the front doing stuff while you're praying for people, you can't have eyes on everybody. And not Sunday gone, but Sunday before, it was like someone at the front row end up praying and prophesying over all these people. We didn't even know what was going on until some woman said last week. So I just think to have authority over the meeting as well, if you're here and you see people that aren't with us in this room and you see them praying for someone, just go and stand next to them, stand next to the person they're praying for, and as quickly as you can butt in and kind of take over the prayer, push them out of the way in a good way, you know.
In a good way, yeah, well done.
What I'm saying is, you can do it. Or, yeah, or do it.
There was a guy the other week, and his friend saw me, and I just said, "Excuse me, you're not in the ministry."
Yeah.
He said, "Do you mean I can't pray for it?" I said, "Nope."
He said, "Do you mean you can't pray for Lee?" He said, "Not you can't pray from here, no, not the front. Thanks, just our policy." And you all have authority to say that.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. If you see people praying for people, because we just don't know who they are. You're trying to keep some level of quality protection for people who get in prayer. I suspect we'll be massively challenged as revival fully breaks. You know, you get it all happening. But as much as we can, yeah, let's do it. You know, let's wear the badges. And if you see people who aren't from us, just gently say to them, you know, push off! Paul said. No.
I think the hard thing is, though, is that sometimes they're encouraged to pray from the seats, but they don't make it clear that they're not allowed to pray at the front.
Yeah.
Because when they get people to say, right, oh, he's got faith.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you put your hand forward?
Stretch out your hands, everyone, but only your hands.
Yeah.
Stay where you are. Yeah. Okay, good point. Yeah. Yeah. So we need to sort of not really encourage that too much, do we? Okay, Sunders. Shall I move on? Mm-hmm. And then there's Estonia, obviously, is a big part of what we're doing. In terms of the prophetic, what God's called us to do, it's the most significant. So, you know, I'm sure most of you are probably going in August to the revival camp conference.
Holiday camp.
And so that's just awesome, and you know, there'll be other big opportunities there. I mean, one interesting little possibility is Avril and Tony are both praying about going there a little bit longer term. Chris's dad Alan, we had a vision of people going over a bit longer term, like 6 months to a year, and helping there and serving there. And as you shared that, I thought of both of those two actually, and talked to them, and we've talked to them a few times, and they've been praying. And so would you guys just pray for them as well? That if that's a possibility, they could go there and just live there a bit longer and just keep doing this stuff there and serving and loving. And often, you know, all this stuff only really, really happens when you do this stuff. You don't learn to do this stuff in a classroom or a church building. You know, you learn to do it on the field out here. I mean, you talk to anyone who's been on a mission trip, you know, Kenya and Joe, it's just, they were awesome, you know. They were absolutely awesome. They had authority, didn't they? Power, and they were just free. And I tell you, watching them, I was so proud of them. Just brilliant, you know. Much better than any of our senior team. So anyway, Stony is like important. And in terms of revival as well, you know, I don't know what's happening there, but it's something of God. You know this story about rain and all that? Yeah, about rain and all that. And you know, the interesting thing is, that's the most significant church in Tallinn, probably in Estonia. It's a famous church, you know. Count Zinzendorf preached there. Alan's dad was telling me. You know, Count Zinzendorf started the Moravian missionary movement in Germany. He started a church in a community. He was a wealthy count, and he opened his grounds. And they had revival, and they started a prayer meeting that lasted 100 years, non-stop. They were the original 24/7 prayers.
Tom's there.
And it was the Moravians. Tom was there. And it was the Moravians. You know, in terms of mission, I mean, the Moravians, absolute heroes, you know. They went all over the place, and some of them sold themselves into slavery so they could preach the gospel to the slaves. You know, passionate, powerful people of God. It was the Moravians who were on John Wesley's ship going over to America when he was going as a missionary, though he was not saved. And going over as a missionary, he saw them, and in a big storm going across the Atlantic, they were singing and not afraid to die, and he was sweating. He said, "What is wrong with me? I'm afraid to die, and these people aren't. What kind of Christian am I?" And one of them, Peter Bonus, said to him, "Do you know that Jesus died for you personally?" Wesley said, "I hope he did." Peter said, "Not good enough." Mm-hmm. Wesley came back from America and wrote in his journal, "I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh God, who will convert me?" Wasn't saved. Got back to Aldersgate Street, heard Luther's preface to the Romans. Someone was reading Luther's commentary on Romans, which is phenomenal, actually. And you can get saved from the preface. If you don't know that, something for you to know. No, I can't do that. It's not a band school. But anyway, and someone was reading it, and Wesley was born again. He said, my heart was strangely warmed. He walked back home. He said, through all the sin and evil of downtown London, he said, I was just absolutely on fire. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest English and British revival began right there, partly through the Moravians. Count Zinzendorf preached in a La Vista church. And when he preached, he was shocked there was no Bible in Estonian. Andrew's dad was telling me, just this trip. And he said, who is going to do it? We need the Bible in Estonian. Who will translate it? And got someone to do it. Then said, right, who will fund it? Who will fund him to translate? Someone said, I'll fund him. Got the Bible in Estonian. When Count Zinzendorf preached in this church. You know, Billy Graham preached in this church. It's like a phenomenal cathedral, you know. For me to preach there is a moving, massively... What a privilege, I tell you, a privilege. I was absolutely awed. And the strange thing is, they never invited me to preach there. They just stuck me on the road. I mean, it was a God thing. One of the guys who goes to that church, our friend Lowry, his dad goes to that church, saw on their newsletter that I was preaching. So he emails Chris and says, oh, Matt's preaching at Ola Vista, is he? Chris said, is he? Chris says to me in our back kitchen, bro, apparently you're preaching at Ola Vista Church. Huh? We had meetings planned for Panu that Sunday. He said, let's have a look. Went on their website. Yep, there you are. Rain's leading the meeting. You're preaching. And the revival choir singing. I guess I am, you know. And we got there and we thought, didn't we? We thought it was like Lowry's dad. So I was saying, thank you for opening this door for me to come here. Thank you for opening this door. I said, what are you thanking me for? I had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. I mean, unbelievable, really. This rain, who met me and Margaret in the summer and laid hands and prayed for us, a 5-minute meeting, 5 minutes. Had somehow must have heard we were coming to Estonia, must have heard somehow, and decided that I should preach there. And when I preached there, it was powerful, wasn't it, guys? I mean, God was with me and beyond me and everything, you know. Several of you have had prophetic words about fire going past me like a wall. And I think in the prayer vigil, someone prophesied it. And then a band of brothers, Carl prophesied it. I just see you stunning this church in Estonians, a flamethrower going out your mouth. And prophesied about the Holy Spirit standing behind me with his wings open like fire. And then as I was coming into church one morning, Claire Simpson said, oh, Martin, I had a vision for you the other night. And she said, I just saw you when you stand in this church in Estonia, Holy Spirit's behind you. And as you speak, a big wall of fire went up 3 times. Yeah. And that is exactly what happened. You know, it was God. God was massively there. You know, hundreds of people stood up and 150-odd people came forward and praying for them. It was very, very powerful. Do you know what? But it was about revival connection. It was almost nothing to do with the camp. It was rain laying hands on us and giving us something, you know. You know, I tried to, as soon as we finished praying, we got to rain, and I tried to get him to pray for us. I struggled to do it, you know. I got on my knees and said, pray for us. And he said, get up, Martin. You pray for me. Which is like ridiculous, you know. And he knelt down. I was like a bit moved, you know, praying for him. I prayed that God would keep him alive to bring him here. What do you think? Yes. I said, God, please keep him alive long enough, because he's 80, you know. To bring him to England to preach at Amazing Grace Church. That's what I'm about to pray. To preach about revival. To do a revival weekend for us. To teach and preach on prayer and revival. What do you think? That'd be awesome. Awesome, you know. I don't know what God's doing. He's ahead of me. I'm just catching up. Keep trying to keep up. But Estonia is significant beyond the camp. Something to do with revival in Europe. I don't know. But we know this much now. if you haven't read the book, you know, we forgive you, you're absolved. But no, if you haven't read the Stonia book yet, get it and read it. Read who Rain is. Read about the last great revival in Europe, which is only in the 1970s, in this church, Bola Vista Church, where God supernaturally connected us. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing, but it's something awesome. It's something awesome. He's hearing our prayers for revival. He's connecting us to these revival batons and mantles and things. I don't know, but exciting. Really exciting, you know. And we're always going to Estonia. You know, as many of you have been, keep going. Keep going. Let's see what God's got. After this camp, there'll be all sorts of stuff happening. There'll be a load of new believers. There'll probably be loads of doors open to us. Who knows? Maybe the Sola Vista Church will connect to us more. Don't know, but we'd love to get Rain here. Anyway, there's always those opportunities, and that's obviously a significant one that you've probably bought into. Anyway, definitely finish up this now. There's a UK opportunity coming up in September. The church in the UK that our Anna goes to, you know, in Sheffield, where Andy Stone is as well, want us to do a weekend of gospel and healing ministries meetings. So this is open to you guys. We've got four meetings, four nights where we need testimonies, we need prayers, we need words of knowledge for healing, we need... you know, you might be able to go to all four, you might want to go to one, you might be able to go to two. That's in September, about third weekend in September. I'll send you out the dates. We'll get a little M61 address list and you guys can be on it, and we'll send you out the dates for these. In Spain, pray for this, this is a door that will open, particularly to the youth, I think. I've gone for years to Spain with Bob Keir, you know Bob? Mm-hmm. Did a bit of teaching for his brilliant teacher. This is exciting because this year, instead of just me and Bob going, Paul's coming. And you know, I've always been impressed by the youth in Spain. You know, they're like really prayerful. You know, every time I go, they have an all night prayer meeting and they're gorgeous. You know, they're on fire and they're lovely. These Pentecostal gypsy church youth in quite a few of the churches. So I said to Bob, look, could Paul come? And, you know, it'd be a fantastic blessing for him. He'd absolutely love it. But it's not for him. You know, nothing we do is just for us. So I think if there's a good connection there next year, our youth could go to Spain and have a phenomenal week with them, evangelising, praying, just getting a bit of Spanish fire. Who knows? A big bunch of Spaniards might come back here, but they're not welcome. No. So that's interesting. Will you pray about that as well? You know, and maybe, you know, when you do go next year, there'll be opportunity for the youth team and beyond to go. That'd be a big affair, who knows? Awesome. Revival in Europe, anything can happen. In June, Tom and Laura are going to Bulgaria to see the friends and for a holiday anyway, aren't you?
Yeah.
This month, next month.
Okay,
and Tom's had a big connection with some great friends of his in Bulgaria for a long time. We're just sort of pursuing a possible door for us, this Amazing Grace Church. So in June, Tom, myself, Stuart and Ian are going to meet sort of the heads of some big denominations actually in Bulgaria, and some great friends of Tom staying in a seminary there, and we're going to be seeing what happens from connections like that. God opens doors for ministry opportunity, and teams of people can go in if it's God and if it's right, and if it's, you know. So would you just be praying for that and be open to that? These are possibilities for you guys in the future. Sweden, you can pray about this as well if you don't mind. And another night, we'll have some time to pray. Sweden, Kina's mum and dad's church. You know, there's something happening there, a bit of interest in Route 61. And it's sort of, they get a little bit interested and then I think the pastor gets a little bit worried, a bit of caution and that. And Keane's mum and dad are keen. And they're coming here, aren't they?
Yeah, next weekend.
Next weekend, Keane's mum and dad. You see a very tall, blonde, good-looking couple. It's that's my mum and dad. But look out for them. Look out for Keane's mum and dad next weekend. I mean, a lot of this is people coming to us, isn't it? We have a lot of Estonians wanting to come and do Route 61. Key, significant Estonian people actually going to come in May, some of them. So that's significant as well. It's a two-way bridge, these things. That's potentially October Route 61 weekend, mm-hmm. where we could do some of Route 61 over a weekend in Sweden, headed up by Andy. So that's interesting. These ones are all sort of possibilities. UK. That's a definite. these are all possibilities, and beyond our immediate. Actually, I don't want to do that. These are beyond what the Philippines, Ruth and Andrew. Mm-hmm. Get Ruth and Andrew, you come on exam 61 nights before they go back and pray for us all. And there's something about being on the field that you catch something and you know being out there and just doing it, living it. We'll get them to pray for us, for stir up our heart for world missions and the world and stuff. I think that'd be good. The Philippines is interesting. I mean, what I'm saying is this, they're beyond our immediate prophetic remit from God. Our remit is Europe, it is. But, do you know what? God's heart is for the world. And from Europe, you know, Wigglesworth prophesied a mission moving to the ends of the earth. And it's, you know, Ruth and Andrew are us, and they're already at the ends of the earth. So, you know, the Philippines are significant in one sense, a very easy opportunity for us to do a mission. They'd bite our hands off to have a team there. And if you wanted to visit and stay, you know, I know Beth seriously prayed about that, thinking about that. You know what, if you wanted to visit and help them, or they'd welcome you with open arms and make it happen, they would. And you'd absolutely love it. The difficulty with the Philippines is this, it's expensive, and so is India. That's why I could organise a mission trip for all of you to go to India tomorrow, but I won't, because we're skint. And so will you be if you go to India. And we're not here to just do what we like, are we? You know, it's not air to us. Although, you know, yeah. What's that? 10 past? Oh, yeah. Well, do you know what? Part of the vision of M61 is sort of like, I've often said to Ian, and we said originally about the church, wouldn't it be great when we get upstairs and there's hundreds of people, I'd love there to be 4 stations in the church where you could go and there's desks and there's people there with all the info and sign-up sheets, and one of them just has a big aeroplane picture behind it. There's some palm trees. It says, M61, where are you going next? And we want to stir people up to go, don't we, at the ends of the earth, with the gospel of it. And we want to push people, you know, I'm a bit down or a bit flat. Have you been on a mission trip lately? You know, get over to that desk and get praying with someone at that desk and ask the Lord and look what we've got. Boom! Well, we're going to Kazakhstan, India, China, I think you like that. Where's God calling you to go? Have you been lately? Not lately. Well, get out there and get some action and come back on fire. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? And a big desk for sign up for Route 61 and all that, where people get all explained to them, have a little prayer book and encourage them to do it. And then another one, what were the other things? Anyway, if I'm on there. Anyway, air to us. So that's a possibility, but it's a little bit beyond. This, I think, is prophetic and interesting. This is a little bit out, only that there's nothing happening at the moment, but God spoke clearly to me and Margaret about Norway. Ian and Carolyn have got a lot of family in Norway, and we've been there before. I think God's going to do something in Norway. Andy's ministered in Norway. I think we just need to watch that space and keep praying. Everything we do is connected. The prayer vigils, the intercession is connected to this. God opens doors as we pray. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. We have to ask. The nations belong to our Lord Jesus. They're all ours. We're to go and take possession of them for Jesus and the gospel. The gospel is triumphant. It wins. It conquers. It's not meant to be on the back foot and against the ropes like it is in this nation at the moment. As it's revived and renewed Christianity, it's full of power and conquering strength. We go, not with military might and anger, but with love and mercy and compassion and this stuff. But we go, you know, like an army to take Europe for Jesus. It belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Europe, every one of these nations is owned by our Master and Lord. We're to go and win it for righteousness, win it from sin and Satan, and set the people free. We've got authority to do it. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of every nation. Go, go, go. We are a going church. So, we've got to pray about Norway. I think we do. And this is the type of room where we should be praying. Russia is something God said to me and Stuart clearly. We've been, Stuart, and, you know, Dmitry is actually Russian. Did anyone know that? And, and you know what? God's going to do something in Russia. You know, it's a timing thing. It's to do with a wave in Europe, I think. Our big involvement there. But God said to me personally, and I wouldn't lay this on all of you, but he said to me, you know, St. Petersburg to Vladivostok. That's so far around Russia that I can drop into the Philippines and see them when I'm finished. But, you know, I think before the end of my days, we'll preach in stadiums across Russia. I do. Russia's the biggest nation on earth. And in some ways, you know, the biggest trouble, no offence. And the biggest potential trouble for Europe and a lot of places. And God loves Russia. And, you know, but anyway, do you know what? It's a little bit beyond. But do you know what? It's there.
Yeah.
And it's been... And, sorry?
I'm saying there's 250,000 ethnic Russians in Estonia, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of Russians in Estonia. Of course, you get the Russian borders, loads. And it's just interesting, isn't it? It's all volatile Europe, isn't it? God's on the move, the devil's on the move. Let's keep moving with God and see what happens. Yeah, India. Prem's coming to visit us later in the year, once he can get allowed out of the country. So that means that... I'm sure we're in Duralatin because we won't be able to resist once you've met him. But it's money, you know, so we need money, we need to pray, money and so on. Italy and France are always a possibility. And as Bob, you know, I've gone often with Bob to Italy and France. And, you know, is this being taped? How old's Bob now?
74.
So, do you know what? Nothing lasts forever, even the best things in life, and he's one of them. So what, all I'm saying is that I'm not sure what will happen there with all Bob's doors and everything. But if he'd like us to, we could help him go through those doors for him when he can't do that anymore. And, you know, God's going to be moving in France, in Italy, in Sardinia, places that me and Bob have visited often, good friends of ours. My weakness is I can't speak the languages. So... let's pray that God raises up translators for us and, you know, Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He can do it. Amen. Any questions? Right. Well, that means we've got 15 minutes to pray. So why don't we do that? Why don't we pray about this stuff in particular for 15 minutes and then, bless you, you're free to go. And so every 6 weeks we'll gather us together like this and we'll go into detail into 50% ministry, 50% mission. Is that okay? Should we stand? Thank you, Father, for being our awesome dad, for being a wonderful God. Thank you for each other. Thank you for calling us together to do a great job for you. And thank you that you're doing a great job on us while we are called to do a great job for you. Lord, we give you permission to keep that job going on us. Lord, we're utterly unworthy in ourselves to do any of these marvellous, incredible things. But we love it, and we love the thought that you've chosen us, and that you love us, and what a massive adventures for us. Lord, big adventures here in Teesside in England, and huge adventures on the continent. Oh Lord, thank you for being the God of all the earth. For being our Father, we bow the knee tonight and we submit to you and we ask you to give us a gift of prayer and give us the ability to fast and pray and seek you and have deep roots that can survive any storm by the grace of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's get into threes and pick a nation and just bless it and cry out to God for it. And let's do that. We've got 10 minutes.